All right, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. All right, Philippians chapter 1. This is going to be unusual this morning because I believe in praying and seeking the Lord's leadership about what to preach. And knowing that I was going to be coming down here and having a first couple Sundays, I said, Lord, is there something you want me to preach the first couple Sundays? And the Lord gave me this message, particularly for this Sunday, I believe. But here's the interesting thing is Pastor Roland preached the same verse last Sunday. So see if you remember anything. But my message is a lot different than the one Pastor Roland had. Isn't that neat about the Word of God? It's inexhaustible. And I heard one preacher, he preached, I think it was 18 messages in a row on John 3:16. And when he got done, he said, I still haven't exhausted John 3:16. It's so wonderful. And the Word of God is tremendous. So Philippians chapter 1, and if you see any similarities, great. But I think you'll see that there's some things that are different. I think I will continue what you've done in the past of putting the little outline in the church bulletin. So if you'd like to fill in some blanks along the way, that'll be fine as well, and that might help you stay awake as well. I'll do my best to keep you awake also. All right, Philippians chapter 1. In this letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul begins by assuring them that God has great plans for them. Look at verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He says, God has great plans for you guys, you Christians there at Philippi. God has great plans for you. And then he goes on to assure them of his love for them. Paul had a great love for that church because the Lord used him to start it. And he assures them of that love he had for the church at Philippi. Then he starts talking about his own life and his desire to be with the Lord in heaven. And he makes that famous statement there in verse 21. He says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says, I would like to die and go to heaven, because that'll be gain. It'll be great to be with the Lord again. But then he starts thinking, you know what though? I won't be able to minister and serve you folks anymore. And so I'm caught in a strait betwixt two. He says, part of me wants to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And part of me wants to stay here and minister to you. And so what I'm going to do is just whatever God wants. And I'll stay here as long as God wants and minister and serve you and enjoy that. And then when God takes me to heaven, then I'll go and be with him. And that'll be far better. But then he comes down to verse 27. And here's our text for today. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving. That word striving has the idea of strenuous effort. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. As I am blessed of the Lord to begin ministry here at Bethel Baptist Church, my heart is that we together would strive for the faith of the gospel. That we would strive together, just like it says here, for the faith of the gospel. And it's interesting because Paul was away from these people. And I got thinking about Pastor Roland and the great send-off we had for him last Sunday in the evening service or afternoon service. I thought it was a great service to send him off. But verse 27 says, only let your conversation, your manner of living, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And I thought of Pastor Roland, he could say that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast with one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I believe the Lord comes to us with that challenge today. And it's my heart's cry, it's my heart's prayer for our church that as we grow together to know each other and to love each other and we grow to know the Lord and love Him more, that we as a church will strive together for the faith of the gospel. Let's start out, first of all, and look at the purpose of striving together. Number one, the purpose of striving together. It's right in the verse there, for the faith of the gospel. For the faith of the gospel. Now, notice it says, the faith, and not just the word faith. When you read in the Bible, a lot of times you'll read about faith, and then sometimes you'll read about the faith. And it has a little bit of a different meaning when it has the definite article attached, the faith. Faith is simply reliance, but the faith gives the idea of the whole body of scriptural truth. The faith, everything that God put in the Bible, striving together for the faith, everything that God has given us. That's one of the goals of our church, to strive, to put forth a strenuous effort for everything that God has given us, the faith. Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith, okay? The whole body of scriptural truth. And then Jude verse 3 tells us we should earnestly contend for the faith. So we should strive together for the whole of scriptural truth. You know, as I begin as the new pastor here at Bethel Baptist Church, my prayer is, Lord, let Bethel Baptist be a church committed to the whole of scriptural truth. You know, some churches, they'll emphasize soul winning, but then they'll neglect other things. Let's be a church that emphasizes soul winning because it's in the Bible. It's part of the whole of scriptural truth. But let's not neglect other things. Some churches, you know, they'll talk about revival, and I'm going to talk a lot about revival. That's part of the faith, the whole of scriptural truth. The faith, you know, Pastor, you get up there and you start talking about music that we ought to listen to. You're meddling now. No, it's part of the faith. Because God says, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. It's in the Scripture. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's all through the Scripture. Let's be committed to godly music standards. Let's be committed to educate our children in a Christian way. Let's be committed to godly dress standards. Let's be committed in the future to a bus ministry where we bring people in who can't get here any other way because He tells us to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Let's be committed to that part of scriptural truth as well. Let's be committed to the Great Commission, giving the gospel, baptizing them, and then helping them, teaching them all things whatsoever He has commanded us. Let's be committed to the whole of scriptural truth. Let's be committed to worldwide missions. Right now our church supports 6 missionaries. For a church this size, that's tremendous. Praise the Lord. Let's stay faithful in our faith promise and continue to support them in the days ahead. Let's encourage one another in Christian fellowship. Let's be a church that you come in and you get encouraged by the people around you. And you get built up spiritually by the people around you. And perhaps you see them through the week and they line you up and say, hey, come on over to my house on Tuesday night. And we have Christian fellowship. But that's not all that a church does. Some churches, that's all they do is have fellowship. It's like a big social club. I'm for fellowship. It's important. But that's just part of the faith. We've got to be committed to the whole of scriptural truth. Let's be committed to what the Bible says about the assurance of salvation and knowing for sure that you're saved and not based on our good works. There's some issues even in fundamentalism today that seek to attach good works to salvation. You say, how could that be? Well, they say things like, well, if you were really saved, you wouldn't be doing this and this. Well, wait a minute. We're not saved by our works. And someone who's saved ought not to be doing this and this and this. But that doesn't mean they're not saved. That means they're backslidden away from God. Okay, let's be committed to what the Bible says. Salvation is not by works. It's by faith and faith alone. Let's be committed to what the Bible says about the preservation of Scripture. and the fact that God has preserved His Word for us. Let's be committed to those things, the whole of scriptural truth. I'm not going to be a preacher who rides a hobby horse and constantly emphasizes one thing. If the Lord will help me, I want to preach the whole counsel of God, and let us be committed to the whole of scriptural truth. Notice it says, for the faith of the gospel. Why should we strive together? Yes, for the faith, but secondly, for the gospel. The Lord has raised up this church to be a gospel lighthouse here in southern Sarasota County, in Northport, in Port Charlotte, in Venice. And we ought to be that lighthouse. We ought to be striving together for the gospel. For the gospel. The thing that we're striving to do is to spread the gospel. I think I said one time when I was here already, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And sometimes you get so sidetracked by different things. I'd like someday if we had a church softball team and, you know, recreation night, come in here and play volleyball or something. That'd be great. But that's not the main thing. We've got to keep the main thing the main thing. We've got to focus on spreading the gospel. And you know what? The church, if as a church we're going to strive together for the gospel, the church is not a building. Nobody knows that better than us since we meet in the George Mullen Activity Center. But the church is not a building. The church is us-ins, you-ins, you-guys, us, y'all. Okay? We're the church. So if the church is going to be striving for the gospel, that means we as individuals need to be striving for the gospel. So ask yourself this morning, what have I done this week or during the month of January to try to spread the gospel? How have I been striving together for the faith of the gospel? The word gospel means good news. And in the Bible, it's the good news that Jesus came and He died for your sin. Folks, if you've come today and you're not positive that you're on your way to heaven, you could be positive today because Jesus paid the price for you. He paid for your sins on that cross. He suffered the agony, all the agony of an eternal hell. Somebody says, well, how could he suffer eternal hell in 3 hours on the cross? Because He was the eternal God. And when He died, that was an eternal death. And He suffered it for you and for me so we wouldn't have to. But we've got to come to the point in our life where we stop trusting ourselves and we start trusting Him. And we say, Lord, I'm a sinner, but Jesus, You died for me, and I'm going to put all my trust in You. Now, many of you have done that, and you know for sure you're on your way to heaven because you did what the Bible said about receiving Christ. But if you've come today and you're not sure about that, you'll have opportunity at the end of the service to make your way to the front along with some others who are coming for other reasons. And let me know. Say, Pastor Kneeler, I don't know for sure about heaven, but if I could be positive, I'd like to be. I want to settle it. And we'll show you right from the Bible how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. Folks, that's the gospel. When's the last time you explained that to somebody? Maybe kind of like I just explained it, kind of quickly. But when's the last time you explained the gospel to someone? Or you reached in your pocket and you gave a gospel tract so somebody could know for sure how they're going to heaven. You know, for the church to be striving to spread the gospel, we as individuals have to be striving. And it ought to be the pastor. I better be the example. But it can't be just the pastor. We've got to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Amen? All right. So let's examine ourselves and let's say, Lord, that's what I want to do. Number two, let's look at the prerequisites of striving together. I can hardly say that word, but it starts with P. So I thought I'd put it in there, all right? The purpose of striving together and the prerequisites. Prerequisites means the things that come before. If we're going to strive together, there are a couple prerequisites in this verse. Look down again at verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. I may hear of your affairs. And your conversation, that word means your manner of living. Apostle Paul is saying, listen, when I hear about this, your church at Philippi, I want to hear good things. In other words, I want your testimony to ring true. The first prerequisite, if we're going to strive together as a church for the faith of the gospel, is we've got to have our testimony in order. We've got to be a good testimony in the community. If we try to spread the gospel and our testimony's not right, we'll be laughed at. You as an individual and our community and our church as a whole will mock out the message of the gospel if our testimony's not right. If we have bills unpaid and maybe it's impossible for you to pay, well, go to that creditor and talk to him about it and say, hey, can I pay just a little bit each month? And try to work something out. Don't just not pay your bills, because that'll come back. That'll come back. Oh, yeah, the guy says he's a Christian. Bethel, he don't even pay his bill. We got to have our testimony in order. We've got to show what a Christian really is. Our conversation, our manner of living needs to be, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. We don't always use the word become in this way, but once in a while we do. We say, well, that's very becoming on you. In other words, that color looks very good on you. It's very becoming. It's fitting for you. The word becoming means fitting. So let your manner of living be fitting for the gospel of Christ. Here I am, a preacher of the gospel. If you came to visit my house and if you pushed some of the boxes aside and made your way to the refrigerator, and you were to open up the refrigerator and you saw in there a beer can, you'd say, Pastor Needler, that's not fitting. That's not becoming of the gospel of Christ. And you'd be right. You'd be right. If you went to my dresser and, again, fought your way through boxes that are still not unpacked and somehow made it to my dresser and you opened the top drawer and found a pack of cigarettes in there, you say, what are those cigarettes doing in there? You're a preacher of the gospel. That's not fitting for the gospel of Christ. If you were to get in my car and look through my CDs and you found some, you know, country music about this guy leaving his wife and getting his dog back and something like that, and you say, well, that's not fitting for the gospel, and you'd be right. If you were to see me in Walmart and maybe dressed inappropriately, maybe one of those T-shirts, you know, with the armholes cut all the way down to the waist, you know, well, after you got done puking, you'd say, Pastor Needler, that's not fitting of the gospel of Christ. What are you going around the community looking like that for? That's not fitting for the gospel of Christ. If I came in this morning, you know, and I had my nose pierced or something and a mohawk or something, you'd say, okay, it doesn't say in the Bible thou shalt not have a mohawk, but that's not really fitting of the gospel of Christ. Guys, it's interesting to note that this passage is not written to pastors. It's written to the people at the Church of Philippi. And all those things that are not fitting of the gospel of Christ for me are true for every believer. We've got to have a testimony that rings true. If we're going to be committed to the gospel, if we're going to be spreading the gospel effectively, if we're going to strive together for the faith of the gospel, our testimony has to be right. Maybe we need to do some spiritual house cleaning today. I don't know. I could preach like this because I don't know you guys yet. I don't know who does what and who's got what problem. I don't know it, so now's the time to hammer it, right? Maybe we need some spiritual house cleaning today, personally, in your life. And you need to say, now, Lord, today's the day. I've known about this thing for a while. Today's the day. It's been hurting my testimony. It's been hurting the testimony of Christ, perhaps even the testimony of Bethel Baptist Church. And today, Lord, with your help, I want my conversation to be fitting. I want my manner of life to be fitting of the gospel of Christ. I'm giving it to you today, Lord. You take that step of faith, the Lord will help you follow through. It might be a battle. It might be something that's habit-forming. It might be something that's got a grip on you. It might be something that you really love. And I've had teeners say, but that's my favorite kind of music, you know. Well, okay, but the Lord will help you. The Lord will help you. You take that step of faith. And then we're here to help you as well. And let me say this. You'll never regret it. It's a wonderful thing to be part of striving together for the faith of the gospel. Folks, there's nothing more exciting than seeing God use your life. When you go and you talk to somebody and they're excited and they receive Christ as Savior. Or maybe they're already saved and they decide, okay, I'm going to live for the Lord. Or yeah, I'll be in church. And you start seeing them grow spiritually. And you think, I didn't deserve it, but the Lord used me. There's nothing more exciting than striving together for the faith. And you won't regret it. You won't say, oh man, I'm sorry I had to give up that stuff and fix my testimony. I really miss it. No, you'll be glad. There's nobody that looks back and says, oh man, I wish I was still, you know, smoking pot or something. No, they're glad. They're so glad that they've gotten rid of those testimony-harming activities. We sang today, all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. You know, sometimes those things, they charm us. They get hold of us. And we think, I don't know if I'd be happy without that thing. But if it's not pleasing to God, let me encourage you today, cast it off. Cast it off. Get your testimony in line and you'll never regret it. The first prerequisite is testimony. I'm going to speed up a little bit. The second prerequisite, and you see it in the verse there, is one spirit. One spirit. The word spirit here is pneuma. It's used in the Bible for the Holy Spirit, but also for other types of spirit. Daniel had an excellent spirit and things like that. I think you look at the context of the verse and you can tell that I really believe here, since it's talking about one spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. In chapter 4, verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One Spirit. One Spirit. Guys, we can't strive together for the faith of the gospel in our own flesh, in our own strength. It's got to be through the power of God's Holy Spirit. If I say, okay, I want to strive together for the gospel, I'm going to witness to somebody today, I'm going to try to give the gospel out, and then we chicken out. Or we say, I'm going to get rid of that testimony-harming activity, and then we fall back to it. We can't do it in our own flesh. We're not strong enough. It's got to be in one Spirit. God's Holy Spirit filling and empowering us. When you got saved, you were indwelled by the Spirit. You've got all of Him, but that doesn't mean He has all of you. So you surrender and you say in Ephesians 5:18, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me with Your Spirit. Take control. Let my life just be filled to overflow with Your Spirit. You take control. And you know what? Christ, when He's in control, He doesn't take part in those testimony-harming activities. Christ, when He's in control, He doesn't chicken out about giving the tract. Because Christ is in control. Not I, but Christ be seen. Let Christ live out His life through us. That's through the infilling and power of the God's Holy Spirit. With one Spirit. And if you're saved, you've got that Spirit. And we keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Without Him, we're nothing. John 15:5. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. See, without Him, zero fruit. Abide in Him, much fruit. Okay? Perhaps you've been frustrated trying to live the Christian life. Learn today, it's not by trying harder. And that's the danger of this idea. Striving means strenuous effort. And yes, we have to try, but it's not our trying that does it. It's God's Holy Spirit that comes alongside. You know, the Comforter means the one who comes alongside. He comes alongside and enables us with one Spirit. One more prerequisite, one mind. One mind. Three times in the Bible we find the word unity, plus the word united is there once, and unite is once. Ephesians 4:3 calls it the unity of the Spirit. Psalm 133:1 says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And Ephesians 4:13 calls it the unity of the faith. You see, unity means we're united around the truth of God's Word. Unity does not mean that we compromise the truth so we can get along. Okay, that's not scriptural unity. Somebody says, well, you know, I believe in having unity. I do too. And unity is in the truth. There will be some other churches in this area who follow the Bible like we do, and they have godly music just like the Bible says we ought to, and they have godly standards just like the Bible says we ought to. Well, guess what? We'll be able to work with those churches. We'll be able to work together and maybe have some youth activities with their teenagers and do some things. There's some other churches, they believe in salvation, but they don't believe what the Bible says about a lot of other issues. And so we have less unity with them. We don't say, well, we should all just get along. You know, don't worry about that. Just compromise that truth so you can all get along. No, unity in the Spirit. Unity in the Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit lines us up as we become more like Christ. We become more and more unified. So unity is in the Spirit. With one Spirit, with one mind. Whose mind is that? The mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5. Same book. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ through the Scripture and through our prayer times. And He leads us as a church. Now, I understand that I have a huge obligation. In the Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 5, it calls Jesus the chief shepherd. And it goes on to talk to pastors and indicate that they are the under-shepherd. And they have a responsibility to lead and guide the flock. So I understand I have a big responsibility to get hold of God and to know His mind. And say, now Lord, what is Your mind on this issue? But we need to strive together with one mind. Where if I ever try to lead the church in something that's unbiblical, man, you stand up and say, no, that's wrong, Pastor Needler. That's not right. That's against the Bible. Okay, you stand up and say so. But if the Lord directs and we try to lead in a certain direction, let's be with one mind. Let's get behind what God wants to do here. And let's see God do some great things. Every church that God has blessed and has seen God work in a mighty way, striving together for the faith of the gospel, is one that gets behind spiritual leadership as long as they're following the Bible. And that'll be an important thing in the days ahead. Okay, so the passion is the third thing I want you to see. We've seen the purpose of striving together, the prerequisites, one mind, one spirit, and a godly testimony. Now the passion. Did you catch the passion of it in verse 27? Striving. The word is athleo, like an athlete in the Greek. Like an athlete. The Greeks knew about athletes. They had the Greek games, the forerunners of the Olympics. And they strove for that corruptible crown, that laurel wreath that would be put on their head. And it would wilt and corrupt and be dead. But we strive for an incorruptible crown that cannot pass away. But we've got to strive for it. We've got to work at it. The ministry I was an assistant pastor at up in Michigan, I was there a number of years. I was the youth pastor. The other assistant was a Christian school principal. And every year, they had a Christian school fundraiser. We didn't do fundraisers for the church. I'm not really for that. But they did it for the school, which is a little different. And they would have the jogathon. They would jog laps. And they would get people to sponsor them. You know, I'll sponsor you for a nickel a lap or a dime a lap, or somebody would sponsor them a dollar a lap. And it was about half of a soccer field, and they gave you a half hour to run. The guys who were really athletic in the high school, they could get 30 laps. So if you sponsored them a buck a lap, that'd be 30 bucks, you know. It was according to how many laps you would run. Well, the school principal, he was an older gentleman. He probably should have been retired, but he didn't want to retire. He just wanted to keep going for the Lord. And he did a great job. But he would run in the jogathon every year. And people would love to see him run because there was this old guy trying to get his laps in, you know. And they'd sponsor him, and he'd get businesses to sponsor him and everything. It was really a neat thing. Well, one year, our senior pastor was away, and we would always get calls at the church for him, for people in the community who needed a preacher, say for a funeral or something. The way I look at it, like he did, I'm not just the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church, I'm also a pastor in Northport, and I'll be able to serve the community, and we would do funerals for people that didn't have a church, and be a chance to give the gospel. Show people how to get saved, you know. So a lot of times, you know, somebody would call our church because, you know, we knocked on their door one time or you know, we knew their great aunt or something like that. And so they'd call the church, say, hey, can you do a funeral? So somebody calls, and it's always a hard time because it's usually an unsaved person. And you don't want to say they're in heaven if you don't know if they're saved. You want to be honest. So it's a tough time. And our senior pastor was gone, and the funeral was Jogathon Day. And so it looked like I was going to have to do that funeral. And I was young in the ministry. I had not done a funeral up to that time. Now I've done a few. But I had not done one to that time. And so I, over to the Christian school, and I said, hey, Pastor Brian, I got an idea. Why don't you do the funeral? and I'll run the jogathon. I'm used to, he took charge of the jogathon and he said, okay, go, you know. I said, I'm used to blowing the whistle. I've been a youth pastor. I can do that. I'll take charge of the jogathon and you do the funeral for me. Well, all right, let me tell you what to do. And so he went through all the details, and I'm kind of a detail person anyway, so we got it all hashed out, and I knew what to do, and we're all set. So he went and did the funeral, and I got out there, and I'm going to run the jogathon, be in charge of the jogathon. So kindergartners, ready, go, you know, first grade, ready, go. And then we're coming up toward high school time, and people are realizing, a lot of the parents, they'd come out and watch their kids run. It was a big, big day. And they're looking around and say, where's Pastor Brian? I said, oh, he's doing a funeral. And they said, Well, we wanted to see him run. That's why we came. They said, yeah, well, he's doing a funeral, and I took his place. And they said, well, if you took his place, then you have to run. I had not been training for it at all, and I had gotten lazy. I wasn't all that old, but I had gotten lazy, and I was out of shape. And if I knew I was going to run that thing, I would have been out jogging some and getting ready. And I said, no, I can't. Plus, I don't have any sponsors. I mean, Pastor Brian, he was going to come back and run his half hour at a different time because he had people sponsoring him specifically. And so he'll still get his pledges. And I don't have anybody sponsoring me because I wasn't going to run. And they said, oh, really? Well, we could sponsor you. And I said, well, everybody, I mean, these kids, they beg people to sponsor them all this time. There's nobody that's going to want to sponsor me now, you know. Everybody's all sponsored out. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. They kept bugging me. I said, if you get $5 a lap, then I'll run. So they go around and all these parents, and they come back. It took them about 15 minutes. We got $5 a lap. Well, here I am in my youth pastor garb. I had some athletic type shoes that look kind of dressy, and my dress pants and my tie and my shirt. So I took my tie off and I said, okay, I'll run. So here's senior high time came, and I said, well, if I'm going to run, I'm going to give it my all. And I said, I'm going to go for 30 laps. You know, a minute a lap. So I set my watch, you know, it's just half a soccer field, you know, a minute a lap, I'm going to try to do it. Well, I kept on pace a little bit for the first couple of laps, and then I started dying. Oh, man, so okay, I just got to walk a little bit, you know, and then got to run some more, got to walk a little more. And I didn't make 30, I made 26, but I was pretty excited about that. And some of the teenagers beat me and made 30. I'm like, oh, man, I hate that. You know, I'm such a competitor. Well, the next day, I was so sore. I mean, I couldn't even hardly walk. I'm going like this. My thighs back here were just so sore. You know the feeling. I'm just like, ah. And it lasted for about a week. I tried to stretch out and things and get the soreness out of there. Oh, it was terrible. Well, I tell you all that to tell you this. Strenuous effort. I had to put forth strenuous effort out there at the jogathon. And sometimes it's a little bit painful. You know, sometimes you think, well, you know, I want to strive together for the faith of the gospel. I want to be a part of what this church is doing. I want to reach out. I want to see people reach for Christ. Not just so we can have a big church, but so we can see lives changed and lives rescued and families turned around and people on their way to heaven, which is the most important thing. I want to strive together. Well, guys, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes there's pain. Sometimes there's discomfort involved. I'm not comfortable with this or that or the other. But folks, what I see when we get the passion of this passage, when we strive and have the passion of an athlete who says, I'm going to work at it. I'm going to make it my passion. Then God blesses. It involves letter A, sacrifice, and letter B, vision. Sacrifice, yes, finances, but also sacrifice of time. Sacrifice of our talent, sacrifice of effort. It takes work. It takes vision. You know, we've got to ask God to give us that vision. You know what? These days at Bethel Baptist Church, of the old pastor leaving and the new pastor coming, perhaps these days at Bethel Baptist could be a transformation time in your life where no longer are you a factory worker who happens to go to Bethel Baptist Church, but now you're a faithful servant of the Lord at Bethel Baptist Church who happens to be a factory worker. You're spreading the gospel. You're striving together for the faith. This could be a transformation time where no longer, young people, are you just a student at Northport High School who happens to go to Bethel Baptist Church, but you're a servant of the Lord from Bethel Baptist Church who just happens to go to Northport High School. You're no longer a homemaker who just happens to attend Bethel Baptist or a retired person, but you're someone who's spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ through the ministry of Bethel Baptist Church, who happens to be retired. or happens to be this, that, or the other. Oh, it could be that when your name is mentioned, they say, "Oh yeah, yeah, that's the guy who has won this family to Christ and brought this family into the church. Oh yeah, that's the guy that goes around and picks up the kids. Oh yeah, that's the guy that goes around to the yard sales and gives out tracts. Yeah, that's the guy who runs a van ministry because we don't have a bus yet, you know. That's the guy who tries to get people to the church. Oh yeah, that's the guy who helps clean up afterwards because he's serving God. He's doing anything he can to spread the gospel and he's striving together for the faith of the gospel. Oh, that's the Sunday school teacher who went out and talked to my dad when I was a kid in his Sunday school class and he won my dad to the Lord, or he won my mom to the Lord. Yeah, servant of the Lord. That's what will happen if we'll catch the vision. If we'll say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And guys, when we catch the vision, striving together is no longer a drudgery. It's a great joy. It's exciting to be part of a church that is going and growing and reaching people for Christ. It's exciting. Let's be a church that, you know, when something's going on, you're there. You know, if we schedule some special meetings, boy, you're just there. In March, I'm going to have a scripture memory campaign. Oh, I can't memorize. Too old for that. Oh, we'll make it easier on you then. But take part in it, you know. I'm going to get behind what's going on. There's a Sunday school class activity. Okay, I'm going to be there. There's a youth activity. Okay, I'm going to be there. There's a special prayer meeting called. Let's get involved. Let's strive together. Let's get excited about what God can do through this church. I really believe the Lord has used Pastor Roland to prepare this church to move to the next level. You developed a right emphasis on winning souls, a right emphasis on revival, a right emphasis on the importance of preaching, and all these things. To use the colloquial phrase, all the ducks are in a row. And God could do something special here. But only if we're going to catch the vision and strive together for the faith of the gospel. Now, and I'm not discounting what God has done to this point. God has done some great things. But folks, we're only scratching the surface. I mean, you drive around Northport, and there's so many people, so many streets, and so many needy people. You walk through Walmart, and here's the parent yelling at the kid, and the kid misbehaving, and you think, you know, God could fix that. God could give them a happy home. If they would be saved and then raise their kids with Bible principles, it would be a great thing. Oh, the Lord could do great things through this church. He's given us plenty of room. We could set up chairs all the way to the back if we need to. We can reach people for Christ. We can see some great things happen. I don't minimize at all what God has done. But folks, let's catch the vision. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Strive for it. If we strive together, we diligently seek Him, He'll reward. We could see hundreds coming to Christ each year. Boy, hopefully it won't be too many years till we see 25, 50 people baptized in the year. It'd be great. We could be discipling them with a follow-up program that we get into place. We could be running a bus to Port Charlotte and a bus to Venice and a bus. What's that little town up to the north? It starts with an A. Arcadia. I don't know if it's worth running a van up there or not, but we could be running some. We could be reaching people in community. You could run four or five buses just in Northport to southeast and southwest and north. We could be reaching people all over this community. We could raise the money to finish that building and to get occupancy in that building. The Lord could do all of that, but we've got to catch that vision. It depends on us as individuals and as families, catching that vision to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But we could see families and lives transformed. We could be sponsoring more and more missionaries as the years go by. We could have a missionary on each continent and then try to fill in some of those other countries and just see God using our little old church across the world. It'd be a great thing. You and your family could be used to disciple another family and help them grow and live for God. You know, Ephesians 3:20, I love that verse. It says, God is able. A lot of times Pastor Roland would put that little phrase on the bulletin. Remember that? God is able. But it doesn't only say God is able. It says God is able to do what we ask. Not only that, Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do all that we ask. Not only that, it says God is able to do above all that we ask. Do you know that verse? Ephesians 3:20. Not only that, it says He's able to do abundantly above all that we ask. Not only that, it says He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. And then if you get the whole verse, it says He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I have not seen, nor ear heard, the wonderful things God hath prepared for them that love Him. And I don't believe that verse is talking only about heaven. I believe it's talking about the Word of God and what God wants to do in our lives. Jeremiah 32:27, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32:17, Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Oh, I believe the Lord's used Pastor Roland to set up this church for God's mighty hand of blessing. We'll learn what it means to seek the face of God for His reviving presence and power. And we'll learn about prayer. We'll learn the importance of winning souls. We'll learn the importance of making it possible for all of our people to have part in some kind of outreach that fits their physical capabilities as well as their personality. And we'll see what God's going to do. Folks, if we're going to ascend, we can't coast. I love bicycle riding. My son's already talking to me saying, Dad, can we take a three-day bike trip to Miami? Or a three-day? We did three-day bike trips in Michigan, about 210 miles in 3 days. And he wants us to do some kind of a bike trip. We'll make it a youth activity or a missionary fundraiser to raise money. We raise money for missionaries and bought bikes for their kids or something. We'll do something like that for the young people. But you know what? One thing I learned is, if you want to ascend, you can't coast. Take some strenuous effort. Has anybody ever done powerlifting? Anybody ever done heavy powerlifting? Okay, one or two. As you can tell, I haven't. But I'm told that when you powerlift, there's always a second person called the spotter. And the spotter has two purposes. One is to make sure that you don't get injured, because here you're laying on that bench and you're lifting as much as you can, and if your arms give out, you're going to get your rib cage crushed by that bar or something. And so the spotter is right there, and he can just give a helping hand if he needs to help you get it up. He's there for protection. But the spotter, I understand, is also there for encouragement. And here you are trying to get 10 reps with this heavy weight, and you're 7, and you get it, and here you go, 8. Oh man, I don't know if I can get it. Here I go, 9, and then here you go, and you almost got it, and the spotter's there to encourage, and he goes, get it up, and you go, 10, I got it. Guys, what I want to do today, we're doing really good, the church is doing really well, we've got a healthy young church. Would you allow me to be a spotter and come alongside today and say, get it up, get it up? Let's strive together for the faith of the gospel. Let's work together. Maybe the Lord will let you come out this Saturday at 10. Maybe you'll grab some tracks off that table and decide, I want to give them places I go. I'm going to invite people out to church. I'm going to try to say, hey, let me show you what this pamphlet says. It shows you how you can go to heaven right from the Bible. And I want to do my best. I want to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Let's bow our heads and pray.